I am reading about what the United States is doing to help the school children of Ukraine. Joseph Lindsley standing by. And Joe, we often talk about the civilian targets that Russia hits. And because they've attacked Ukrainian printing facilities, the United States is going to fund the printing of more than 3 million textbooks for Ukrainian students to use in the coming school year. And that's one of those stories you don't hear a lot about, do you?
No, and it's quite amazing, Bob. Hello from Lviv. You know, you think about, if you look at the history for centuries of Moscow trying to control not just Ukrainians, but all different cultures and peoples in, you know, in what is now the Russian Federation and what is now Eastern Europe. And there was a history, especially with the Ukrainian people, going back to the days of the Tsars in the 1700s, 1800s, banning the Ukrainian language. They did everything they could to erase it. In the same way that in the old days of the strife between the English and the Irish language was outlawed. Or even if you look at North America, the way Native American languages were outlawed. And so Russia has been doing this consistently without really stopping for centuries. And this was the, you know, when you see, you even see this when Russia occupies Ukrainian territory, you know, the first thing they do is they get rid of everything that's in Ukrainian. They burn Ukrainian books. And that's what they did when they hit that printing press, Druk, the printing press in Kharkiv. They destroyed, you know, tens of thousands of Ukrainian language books. And so now the fact that you have, you know, Western nations, you have the United States paying for the perpetuation of the Ukrainian language is showing that no matter how much Moscow tries to erase this, you know, it only makes it stronger. And I've seen that too, especially if you go to cities like Odessa or Kharkiv, Kharkiv in particular, you know, those are Russian-speaking cities up until 2022. Most of the people I know there, they speak Ukrainian now, but they were speaking Russian every day up until this big invasion started. And they didn't identify as Russians, but that was the language they grew up with because of the colonial legacy. Just like people in Dublin, Ireland speak English. But now so many people have switched to Ukrainian as an act of resistance and defiance, and because they hate what Russia is doing. And so you see that the more, you know, in many ways, the more that Ukraine and Ukrainian culture is attacked in a way, the stronger it gets. I mean, that doesn't make it any easier. And as we look at what happened, you know, yesterday, as we talked about what happened in the Crimean Peninsula, you know, Crimea has been occupied by Russia since 2014. But Crimea is a unique thing. It was, even when it was fully under the control of Ukraine, it was an autonomous republic within Ukraine, because the Crimean Tatars are a different, distinct ethnic group. They have their own language. They are mainly Muslim, and they've lived there for centuries until, you know, Russia has a history of forcing the people to leave Crimea. They did this many times throughout history, including under Stalin. And finally, after Ukraine got its independence in 1991, the Crimean Tatars were free under Ukrainian governance. You can't even call it Ukrainian governance because it's a democracy. And they were free and people came back. They were living in exile throughout Asia, and they came back to Crimea. And now, once again, you know, since 2014, it's been back under tyrannical Moscow control. And as we see what happened there yesterday, you know, look at the headlines. I'll share with you three headlines. One from the BBC about what happened yesterday. Ukraine war, Russia blames U.S. and vows response for Crimea deaths. That's the BBC. The Guardian says, Ukraine war briefing. Moscow warns of retaliation after blaming U.S. for deadly Ukrainian attack. And then lastly, from CNN, at least five dead after missile fragments scatter over beachgoers in Russian-occupied Crimea. And it's very interesting, the selection of that, the word choice in that headline, because there's other things that could have been said. For example, where are the headlines about what Russia had done in the preceding 48 hours to civilians in Kharkiv, or as they've been doing, you know, for the past 2 years? But even more to the point, Ukrainians in that strike on Crimea yesterday, Ukrainians hit one of the most crucial Russian military communications objects. It's a long-range space communication center that controls a lot of Russian satellites. It was a huge win for Ukraine using these long-range attackings that they weren't permitted to use these American-made weapons until both Republicans and Democrats a couple months ago in Washington you know, they finally came to a deal. And this is when Speaker Mike Johnson actually put pressure on the White House and said, you know, if we're going to pay money for this, we need to win. We got to send these weapons and let them use it. And Ukrainians use that to hit one of the most critical Russian military infrastructure points. And that's not even, not only is it not mentioned in the headlines, it's barely mentioned in those stories.
Why do you think that is, Joseph?
I think, well, part of it is, you know, Moscow is, you know, they have lots of resources and money, and they push out a narrative, and it's powerful. And if you're a busy journalist, you know, it grabs your attention. Oh, people, you know, kids killed on a beach. That's going to get clicks. It's harder. You know, what I just articulated to you, it took me a minute or two, right? It's mm-hmm. harder to put that into a headline.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's part of it. I mean, it's just a basic, you know, trying to sum up the story in a very simple way, but also because Moscow pushes it. And when I talk with Ukrainians, you know, so often, like very earnest Ukrainians working to promote the freedom of their country, they start, you know, responding and saying, well, Moscow, you know, actually that was, you know, Russian air defense that killed those kids. But once you start responding to that, you're still on their narrative track and you're not talking about the big success story for Ukraine. And that's where Russia is very good at the propaganda. They suck you into speaking. Even if you're criticizing Russia, you're still speaking on their terms mm-hmm. and missing the big story that these weapons from America worked. And they're actually making Russia much weaker in its ability, even in this case, to launch new attacks upon Ukraine.
No, you're right. Russia is very good at that. On a positive note, we should mention the Illinois State Police. They sent body armor to Ukraine. Also, our city is supporting Ukraine by relocating Ukrainian refugees. And also, ambulances have been sent from Illinois to the country. So we're with you, Joseph. Thank you. As always, we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Until tomorrow. Thank you, Bob.